You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
We're in Ephesians. We're going to begin by just way of introduction to the book again. We'll read some scripture together. I'm going to give you the first 10 verses with the letter P. I have all 22 verses with the letter P. We'll continue next week as we look at that. We're in Ephesians chapter 1. Thank you for being here. School tomorrow. Let me say that one more time. School tomorrow. Yeah. Praise God. We're back in school tomorrow. And it's going to be a great, great week. Looking forward to it. I was telling Brother River back here, this Wednesday in elementary chapel, I'm studying rivers. And so I need some pictures of you or something, or how you were named or something. I don't know. But I thank God for the week ahead of us. It's going to be a great week. Let's just go by way of introduction. Let's look at this and we'll have prayer. Paul, an apostle by the will of God. Last week we saw that God has a plan for your life. A will of God is a plan. God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life. We saw in verse 2, grace be unto you and peace. God has peace he wants to give you. God wants all of his children to live in peace and inner calm. Verse number 3, we'll pick it up here tonight. Here's the place. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. The plan, the peace, the place. Look at verse 4, the purity. Joy just sang about this. The first words she sang, he chose us. God chose us. Look at the purity in verse number 4. According as he had chosen us in him, before the foundation of the world, that we should be, what's the first word?
Holy,
holy and without. Before him in love. Three things that God wants us to be, and they all deal with purity. Predestination is verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ himself according to his good pleasure. Verse number 6 is the praise, to the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Verse 12 says the same, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Verse number 6 is praise. Verse number 7 is proclamation. In whom we have redemption through his blood, redemption, forgiveness through his forgiveness of our sins according to his riches of his grace. Thank God for that proclamation. I have forgiveness. I have redemption. I'm a child of the King. And then we see prudence in verse number 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence. We'll cover that word in the weeks to follow. Verse number 9, his pleasure, having made known unto us the mystery. You'll see that word several times in this book, that God has a mystery of his will. It's hidden, a mystery of something's hidden, but it's going to be revealed. And right now, hey, you young people, be patient with God. Just be patient. He's not revealed to you. You see, I'm a sophomore in college. I'm a senior in college. I'm a graduate in college. God's going to reveal it. He'll reveal his plan for your life. And when he reveals his plan for your life, take it in stride. Take it with God. God's going to reveal his plan when he sees that you're ready for it.
Amen.
Look what he says in verse number 10, the word property. 10 is property. Yes, in the dispensation. A dispensation is a management of another's property. And so that's why I come up with the word property, that he might gather together all things in Christ. We saw that last week. In Christ. Everything's in Christ, both which are in heaven and on earth in him. Let's bow for prayer. Father, as we open up the scripture tonight to verse 3 and 4 and 5, I pray that God, you'd illumine our minds. We're looking at a blessed man tonight. Lord, we sit in this auditorium, not in Iraq. We're not in Ukraine. We're not in Pakistan. We're not in Iran. We're not in Turkey. We're here in America. We're so blessed. And I pray that God, you would illumine our minds to the scripture tonight. For I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 3. Let's read verse 3 together. Ready? Begin. Bless it. You see that here's a blessed man. Three times he tells you in that one verse, blessed be God. Blessed us with all spiritual blessings. I want to tell you tonight, I am a blessed man. I am so blessed. I have a good marriage. I have good family. I have a great church. I am blessed. That's the way you want to live your life. I am so blessed. Brother Martinez, I'm thinking all those songs about blessings of God. The word blessing, go with me to Matthew chapter 5. We're coming right back here in just a moment. Matthew chapter 5, we have the blessed man. What is a blessed man? According to Matthew chapter 5, we're going to see in the Beatitudes. The Bible says Jesus opened his mouth, verse 2, and taught them, saying, what's the first one? Let's read it together. Blessed are the... God says, I'm going to bless you. What does blessing mean? I'm a blessed man. What does that mean? I'm a blessed man. You're a blessed people. We're blessed with salvation. What is blessed? The word blessed just simply means I'm happy. I'm happy. Aren't you happy when you sing? Don't you want to smile about the songs that we sing? Yes. Don't you want to say praise God when you hear these groups sing? Don't you, when the choir sings, that I know a God who can? All right, doesn't that make you happy? Yes. I certainly hope it does. Hey, kids, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to look for happiness in everything in life, money and immorality and drugs and drink, and you'll never find it there, but you'll find it in Jesus Christ. Yes. I can promise you that. I'm a blessed man. Blessed are the poor in spirit. What's a poor in spirit? That means I have a proper evaluation of my strengths and my weaknesses. I know where I'm weak. Are you weak at anything, or can you do everything? There are some people, you ever run across someone like that? I can do everything. And they can't do anything, but they think they can do everything. I have these men here because every one of them could do something that I cannot do. I'm the pastor of this church. I signed their paycheck. Well, I guess I don't anymore, do I? But I used to sign their paycheck. They work for me. But they all have strengths that I don't have. I can't lead the music like Brother Martinez. I can't lead the choir like Brother, and the orchestra like Brother Romero. I can't do that. I can't do the live stream. I don't know how to turn the, I guess I could turn the cameras on. Just push on, I guess. I don't know how to do all that. I can't do the sound ministry. I certainly cannot do the nursery. You know, some guy asked me years ago, why don't we, when he was whining at me, I knew he was not a man. Why can't the men stay in the nursery? That's the reason why, Tina, you're right. We're not keeping, men are not going in the nursery. Well, it's not fair, he said. It's not fair that the women have to do this. I'm not having any man change my baby, I'll tell you that right now. And men, well, know your strengths. Ladies, know your weaknesses. I'd hate to live with a know-it-all. Wouldn't that be terrible? Look at the second one. Blessed, happy are they that mourn. You're going to be comforted. When you go through sorrows of life that are so heart-wrenching, you know something about the comfort of God that no one else can. I recall my wife telling me that. Her mom's been passed away now 55 years. But she said the comfort that God gave her at that point in her life. I said, how could you write? She wrote a 3-page poem. Maybe it wasn't 3, but I think it was 3. How'd you write that? She goes, God just did that. How'd God do that? He was comforting her heart. Look at the next one. Blessed are the meek. Meek is power, but it's under control. Amen. It's the wind. That's so powerful, but it's under control. And God says, thank God that you have power. Don't go to work tomorrow as the boss, as the manager, and throw your weight around and speak unkindly to people. I tell the staff, I'm sure I could get sued 1,000 times because I'll stop by all the secretaries and I'll say, girls, how's your hair day today? A scale of 1 to 10, and they'll give me a 5 or a 6. And I always say something like, you think that's that high a score, a 5? You think that's a 5 hairdo? So they probably could sue me for harassment, I'm not sure, but I have no money, so go ahead and sue. But meekness is, and they know I'm having fun with them, but you have power at work. Don't treat people unkindly. I would never want to treat any of those ladies unkind. I'd never want to speak to them ill. I want them to take more time off. I want them to rest. I want them to get the rest they need. They work so hard. If you have power to fire and to hire, do it with Christian grace. You'll be a happier person. Look what the Bible says. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Oh, our nation needs that. We'll be a happier nation. They came out with a study this week. They found out, it's been years of study, but they found out that atheists are angry. And people that go to church at least once a week are happier. Amen. Look what the Bible says. Hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, showing pity to everybody. Blessed are the pure in heart. Have a pure heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Have peace in your home, in your life. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven.
Amen.
I'm the most blessed pastor in the world. And I want you to live that way. You ought to say it. I'm the most blessed person in the world. Say that together. I'm the most blessed person in the world. You know, and we had the war with Iraq. The average age of a soldier was 15 years of age, carrying those AK-47s and murdering people. 15. We don't send our 15-year-olds off to war. I think of living in America. Oh, we have our faults. Oh, we have our troubles. We're moving so fast to socialism. 55% of college age and young adults believe that communism's the answer for America. 55%! That's why they elected a socialist communist from New York City, the largest city in America. God have mercy. He doesn't believe in ownership of homes. Believes in controlling all your rents, believes in a government-run grocery store. They'll feed you. Yeah, but what if the government gets sideways with you? They won't feed you. We are living in an awful day, but I'm so blessed. I can go to bed tonight and sleep. I can get up in the morning and work. I can serve God with my life. Go back to Ephesians chapter number 1, and let's continue in Ephesians chapter 1. The Bible says in verse number 3, blessed be the God and the Father who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I am so blessed. I am so blessed. I'm so blessed. I'm not living under a tree tonight. I'm not wondering where my next meal's coming from. I thank God for His blessing on my life. As far as I know, there's nothing wrong physically with me. As far as I know, I'm healthy. I've been so blessed to outlive what the Bible says I'm supposed to live. My dear friend passed away yesterday in the Midwest, younger than I am, much younger. And yet, I look at his life. God used him, and he said to me on Saturday, Brother Treber, I'm going home to be with the Lord. And he went last night. I tell you what, I'm blessed to have my health.
Amen.
I'm blessed to have strength. I'm blessed to have a half a mind. Well, I think I have a whole mind, but that's up for debate. Look at verse number 4. Here's why he can be happy. He has chosen us. Chosen us. That means chosen. He's picked us. Amen. Joy just sang about it. When she started singing that second word, he chose me. Yeah. I got happy down here. Yeah. That's a highbrow song she sang, and I loved it. All based on scripture. I loved it. Amen. He chose me. God handpicked me. Are you saying then that God will predestination and election? Are you saying that God will elect some people to go to hell? No, God said, whosoever will, let him come.
Amen.
I like what Spurgeon said about chosen and election and predestination. Election, the Bible talks about it. We'll see it in the weeks to follow. Election is just God voted for me. D.L. Moody, 1899, he died. God voted for me. The devil voted against me. I cast the deciding ballot.
Amen.
I determine, and if we have a God that doesn't know that before the foundation, he doesn't know who's going to choose him, then something's wrong. He chose me.
Amen.
And he chose you. You're sitting in church on a Sunday night when across America, churches are closed left and right. You drove to church. You came to church. You want to be here. I want you here. I want you to know, child of God, that we've been chosen. And we've been chosen. Look what he says. We've been chosen to be, number one, holy. All this week, be holy before God. That's purity and godliness and holiness without blame. Blame means nothing sticks. I was praising God this week that I've never had an accusation against my life with the money of the church or about women. I'm glad that nothing can stick. They can't say that I've been inappropriate with women. They can't say, last week I had a $20 bill, I needed two tens. But I didn't go into the business office. I stay out of the business office. I didn't go to the business office, I could have, and ask them for two tens for 20, I could have. I'm not gonna get around the money. I don't know, a guy could put a gun to my head and say, open that safe. I said, might as well shoot me because I don't know the number. I don't know how to get in that safe. I don't know how the money is kept or where it's kept. I don't know, that's not my area. I'm not gonna ever be accused of mishandling the money of the house of God. It's not mine to handle. I'm not gonna be accused by the grace of God for womenizing. I'm not gonna be accused of that. And God says, I want you to be blameless. Nothing sticks. Nothing sticks. I'm shocked. I am absolutely shocked at the numbers of Christians in America that are fighting their pastor and fighting their church. And these are deacons, Brother Van Dyke. Thank you for leading the deacons. There are 44 men, I think, in 43, but I'm not sure, in righteousness. It's not the pastor doesn't work for the deacons. Let me go over that one more time. That's Acts chapter 6, whom we may appoint, the pastors may appoint over this business. That's the Bible. I don't work for those deacons. And they have never in 50 years, ever one time, all the deacons have had, those that are in heaven, Michael, your dad with the Lord, a godly deacon. Not a deacon has ever corralled me and said, you've got to change this. You've got to change this. You got to change your preaching. Not a one. Not a one has touched the pulpit. Honey, you remember that young girl years ago? And she said, no, honey, Miss Trevor, you're going to have to talk to pastor about something, about my preaching. And she said to that teenage girl, you see that area where pastor stands? That's his. And I'm not going to tell pastor one thing to preach. That's his, between he and God. Why are you deacons across America on the mission field fighting your pastor? I'm coming directly to you, right? Why are you fighting your pastor? Where did you get that? Where under God's heaven did you get the authority? You don't have the authority to do that. You don't touch God's anointed. When was the last time you literally prayed and fasted and begged God for the touch of God on your pastor's life? When was the last time? Hey, staff. Yeah, staff member right now is giving the pastor so much fit, and he's left the church, but oh, how he reaches back and he's hurting the church, and he reaches back and he's visiting members. Shame on that staff member. Shame on him. Your goal is not to rally people to your cause. Your goal, it's getting quiet in here now. It's not your job. Church member, I don't know where people get off where they think, look, you can run everything in life. Run your business, run your home, run everything. Just don't run this pulpit. And one day when I'm dead and gone, you give the same loyalty to the man that sits in this chair that you gave to me for 50 years. The Bible says that we should be holy without blame and in love. Love is the key. Love is supreme. Sweeter it grows, more glory bestows. Brighter is the sun, heavier it glows. Love is the theme. This church has been so blessed of God because it's a loving church. Look at thirdly what he says. A blessed man is not only blessed and not only is he chosen, but he's been predestinated, having predestinated us. Amen. It just means it's come to pass. The adoption of children by Jesus Christ. I've been born again, John chapter 3. I've been born again. But I've also been adopted. I believe I'm quoting the truth here. I've been told that legally, when you're born into a family, I know a man that did this. He's passed away. He's in hell tonight. But he went out and he legally separated himself from his daughter that was his flesh and blood. He wrote, "She's not my daughter." And legally you can do that. Understand that if you're adopted, you can never do that. Once you're adopted in, you're in. That's your family. I'm so glad that I've been born again. But I'm so glad I've been adopted in. You talk about living on the winning side. No wonder why I'm a happy camper. I'm victory in Jesus. I've got so much to be happy about. I've been predestined. God predetermined that he knew I was going to accept him. He knew 1956, nearly 70 years ago, that I bowed my knee and said, "Dear God, I'm a sinner," and asked Jesus. He knew that, Brother Manley. He knew it. He's God. And he not only predestined me, he chose me, and then he blessed me. My goodness, God's done so much for me. Look at what else he's done. Verse number 5. I'm predestinated, but that I should be to the praise of the glory of his grace. Verse 6. His grace has reached me. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, saying, grace that exceeds sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount, there were the blood of love. Sing that chorus one time, shout it out, sing it out, lift it up. Grace, there you go, good. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace means that it's God's riches at Christ's expense. I'm so glad that God saved me. Brother Doug, when did you get saved? Do you remember the date? Do you have the date? Long time ago. Did they have calendars back then? Well, do you know the date of your salvation? 65. Brother Doug's been a preacher of the gospel. He's retired now. Amen. Thank God for the grace of God. Amen. Brother Raymond, are you saved tonight? Have you experienced the grace of God? Stand right there. Tell us real loud in a word of testimony. When did God reach down and save you? Amen. Was that about 4 years ago?
Almost four and a half.
Almost four and a half. It'll be five in Thanksgiving this year. And you're going to go to the jail on Tuesday and preach to them. What are you preaching? What's your message? You gave it to me on a text. What's your message that you're preaching, Brother Raymond? What's the title of it?
Liberation from despair.
Liberation from despair. Were you in despair?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Deep.
Should have been dead 1,000 times. Rolled a car, drunk, drugs, just an awful life. But look at the man.
Amen.
And he got saved. And God changed his life. But Steve, God changed your life. You were out soul winning with your wife yesterday. God changed your life. How long have you been saved, Steve?
I got saved in 89 when I was a bus kid here.
In 89, God bless him. I'm glad I'm saved.
Amen.
Brother Manley, how long have you been saved?
56 years.
Boy, you've been saved longer than your wife is old, brother. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
I'm so glad I'm saved. One more. Brother Van Dyke, remember your salvation date? Do you remember how long ago it was? 12 years old, he's 147 minus 12. Many years ago, he got saved. I'm glad God saved Alan Van Dyke. I'm glad God saved you, and God can save you tonight. It was a Sunday night at church for me, bus kids. A Sunday night at church, I realized I was lost on my way to hell. I'd burn for all eternity. I realized I'd not go to heaven. I'd go to hell because I was a sinner. But a sinner saved by the grace of God.
Amen.
That's grace. And God, all I did was pray, dear God, I'm a sinner. I asked Jesus to save me. And he saved me.
Amen.
You know, I'm a blessed man.
Yeah.
I'm a chosen man. I'm a predestined man. I'm a man of grace, God. I'm under the grace of God. Because of that grace, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to his grace. His grace is mentioned in verse 6. It's mentioned again in verse number 7. And I'm so thankful for the grace of God tonight. Let's go out of here this week and live like we're under grace.
Amen.
I'm praying for some folks that are even sitting in this auditorium tonight. I love you so much. I can't tell you. These teenagers, I can't tell them how much I love them. But there's some kids and some young people and some adults. I'm praying, Lord. My wife and I spoke of one today. Is she really saved? I don't think she's saved. I'm not trying to get anybody to doubt their salvation. There's no evidence of salvation. There's no evidence of salvation. I'm praying for a person right now every day, done it for a year or two. Lord, if they're not saved, help them to get saved. They love me. I love them. There's not a question there. But are they born again? Do they know Christ? Or if the rapture should occur, the trump of God should sound tonight, are they going to be left in this room by themselves? Are you saved? Do you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven? Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Our Father, tonight I love these people. I know I love them. I love them. They're so encouraging to me. They're so kind to me and my wife. They're so loving to us. Lord, it's been a wonderful journey serving with them. I pray that you give us many more years together. And Lord, if you should tarry in your coming, help us to serve thee with a true heart. I pray for those in this room that are not saved. What a big crowd here tonight. And I pray that every person would know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I can go back to a date in my life. No one wrote it down in my life, but I remember it was around the fall season of the year. It was dark on that Sunday night. I don't believe it was winter yet in 1956 when you saved me. I thank you that I don't deserve your grace and mercy, but my name was put in the book of life that night. I'm thankful for salvation. I wonder, are you saved? Are you truly saved? Have you been chosen? Have you been predestinated? Are you a blessed man? Pastor, I'm not saved. I am not saved. I know I'm not. My mother knows. My dad knows. My friends know. I'm not saved. Would you slip your hand up all over this house? I am not saved. God bless you. Who else? Who else? 8 bus kids up there. You're all saved. You might be. You're not saved. Raise your hand. God bless you. And who else? On the lower floor, I'm not saved. Are you living a happy life? Well, if you're in Christ, you can be happy. You're blessed. Are you living a happy life? I'm not saying are there sorrows or there disappointments. Sure, there's sorrows and disappointments. But are you living a happy life? You should be. You've been chosen. You've been predestinated. To the praise of His glory, we're to be holy without blame for Him.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.